Chapter 5. Moni Can Sing Again. Paula had given orders to be awakened early next morning. She wanted to be up and dressed when the goat boy passed the house, for she intended to talk with him herself. She had quite a long conversation with the innkeeper that evening, and it had seemed to end to her great satisfaction. She must have made a successful bargain with him, for she looked very cheerful. Next morning, when the goat boy approached the inn with his flock, Paula was already standing near the house. "Moni, can't you sing yet?" she called to him. Shaking his head, he replied, "No, I can't possibly sing any more. I have to think of poor little Meggerly's death all the time. I wonder how often I can still take it up with me. I'll never be happy any more as long as I live. Here is the cross." With that, he handed the girl a little parcel, for his grandmother had carefully wrapped up the treasure in 3 or 4 pieces of paper. After unwrapping the cross, Paula looked at it carefully. She saw before her, absolutely unharmed, the beautiful, sparkling cross she had lost. "Moni," she said kindly to her little friend, "you have made me very happy. Without you, I should never have seen my cross again. Now, I have a little surprise for you, too, as a reward. Go and fetch Meggerly from the shed. From now on, the kid belongs to you." With wide-open, astonished eyes, the boy looked at Paula. He did not seem to comprehend her words, for he stammered, "But how could Meggerly possibly belong to me?" "Well, I'll tell you how," Paula said, with a beaming face. "I bought it from the innkeeper yesterday, and today I'm giving it to you. Will you be able to sing again now, Moni?" "Oh, oh, oh," Moni exclaimed, while he ran like mad to the shed and pulled out the kid to take it on his arm. Running back again to where Paula stood, he held out his hand to her and said over and over again, "Thank you 1,000,000 times. May God reward you. I only wish I could do you some favor, too." "You can do me one by singing your song, for I should like to hear how it sounds after all these dreary days," said Paula. Moni did not reflect long, but burst out into a song, and while he was still singing, he started to climb the mountain with his goats. His jubilant tones rang far down into the valley, and there was no one in the inn who did not hear the cheerful singer. Many turned on their pillows, muttering, "The goat boy has good weather again." Everybody was glad when they heard his merry song, for they had long been accustomed to be waked by it daily. Some would get up, and many would sleep longer. When Moni, looking down, could still see the young lady standing in front of the house, he stepped out near to the edge and sang down as loudly as he could, "And the joy of the blue sky has gone to my head." All day long, nothing but peals of joy came from Moni's lips. The goats also caught his happiness and could be seen jumping and leaping merrily to and fro as if they were having a feast. The sun was shining doubly bright from the blue sky after all the recent rain. The herbs were particularly fresh and green. The little red and yellow flowers sparkled. Moni felt as if he had never seen the mountains, the valley, and the whole world as beautiful as they were that day. He was absolutely inseparable from his little kid. Picking the best plants for Meggerly, he fed it tenderly while he said over and over again, "Meggerly, my darling, my dear little Meggerly, now you won't have to die. You belong to me now, so we can go up to the pasture together as long as we live." When he returned at night, his songs could be heard for miles around. When he had deposited the black goat in its shed, he took the little kid on his arm. It was going home with him now, and the kid did not even seem to mind leaving its accustomed home. It seemed perfectly contented under his protection. Pressing closely against Moni, it showed plainly how it loved the boy, who really had treated it with much more love and affection than had its own mother. The grandmother was very much puzzled when Moni came home with the kid on his shoulder. She could not comprehend what had happened, despite Moni shouting at her from far, "It belongs to me now, grandmother. It is mine." Moni had no time yet to tell her more, for busily running to the shed, he prepared a fine, soft couch of fresh straw for Meggerly. It did not want the kid to be afraid of its new abode, so he said to it while he laid it down, "Now sleep well in your new home, Meggerly. You shall always have a new bed every day." Only when he came back for supper and was sitting by his surprised old grandmother did Moni tell her the whole tale from the beginning of his sad days till the happy ending that had taken place today. Listening quietly and attentively, the grandmother said at last, "As long as you live, Moni, you must never forget what has happened to you. God had devised a way to help you long before you suffered for the wrong you did to save your little pet. As soon as you acted right and did what pleased him, he was going to find a pleasant way out of your difficulty. If you had had confidence in him and kept from doing wrong, everything would have come out happily from the start. God has really helped you beyond your merits. So as long as you live, be sure not to forget it." "No, I certainly shall not," Moni eagerly assented. "I shall always say to myself, my only duty is to do what is right before God. If I do that, he will be sure to fix everything just right for me." Before going to bed that night, Moni had to run out to the shed once more. Peeping in, he saw his little kid sleeping soundly. He could hardly yet believe the wonderful truth. There was no doubt of it, however. The little kid belonged to him. Yorkley received 10 francs, as Paula had promised him. But he did not escape from the matter as easily as that. When next he went to the Springs Inn, he was led before the innkeeper. Taking the boy by the collar, the angry man shook him hard, saying in a menacing tone, "Yorkley, Yorkley, better not try again to bring my household into discredit. If a thing like that happens a second time, you'll be sent out of my house in a way you won't like. Do you see the willow rod up there? I'll give you a good thrashing with that next time, so look out, I tell you. Go and don't forget my words." There were other consequences to his wicked action. If anything at all got lost in the inn from that time on, all the servants immediately cried out, "No doubt Yorkley from Kublis has it." If the boy should chance to come to the house at the time, they would crowd around him crying, "Give it to us, Yorkley, let us have it." However much he would protest and assure them that he did not have anything and didn't even know what they were looking for, they would just shout, "Oh, we know you, and you can't fool us." In this way, the boy had constantly to suffer and had hardly a single moment's peace. As soon as anyone approached him, he was always afraid that the person would ask him if he had found this or that object. The boy could not be happy anymore, for he had to think 100 times, "If I had only returned the cross right away. As long as I live, I shall never keep anything that I don't own." Moni, on the contrary, never stopped singing all summer long. He would shout and yodel with merriment up there with his goats, and no mortal on earth was as happy as he. Often, as he was lying full length on the pulpit rock, looking down into the sunny valley, he remembered the fearful days when, with a heavy load on his heart, he was sitting under the rain cliff, all joy gone from him. Then he said to himself, "I won't let such a thing happen again. I shall never do anything that will prevent me from cheerfully looking up at the sky. I shall never again act against God's divine will." Sometimes when Moni, deep in his own thoughts, forgot his little charges, one or the other of these companions would approach him, full of astonishment at his behavior. Sometimes they had to bleat quite loudly before they at last attracted his attention. Only when his Meggerly came and called longingly for his company, he would always hear right away. Raising himself, he would run joyfully to its side, for the tiny, affectionate kid was and always remained his dearest treasure.